Hi everyone. The October 7th massacre has been sending shockwaves around the world. Since the moment Hamas terrorists broke into Israel, killing over 1,200 civilians, raping women, and kidnapping about 240 people to Gaza, not just Israel, but the entire world has felt the impact. Deep-seated anti-Semitism, which had been lying dormant, is now awakening worldwide, in the streets, on campuses, and even in the offices of the United Nations. Many people are learning for the first time the intricacies of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, realizing the necessity to pick a side, to take a stand. But there's one reaction that's less talked about, and I believe is a very important one. October 7th has sparked a wave of return to religion in Western societies. For the past 200 years, the West has been engrossed in what I call the great suspension of belief, the large-scale game of pretend that religion is no longer of any real significance, that it is a relic of the past supplanted by a rational modern worldview, that society and individuals can function perfectly well without it, and most importantly, that it is not coming back. You know the Mark Twain saying, "Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated"? Well, it turns out that applies to God as well. About a century and a half after German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche declared that God is dead, it is becoming very, very clear that God is very much alive. He's only been playing hide and seek, and he is now coming out of his hiding big time. I want to draw your attention to two phenomena that have been occurring in recent weeks, both clearly catalyzed, or at least hastened by, the October 7th massacre. The first is the return of many Western atheists to Christianity. This has been brewing for a while. A prominent figure here is, of course, Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson. After years of listening to the new atheists mock religion, Peterson, citing Carl Gustav Jung, among others, has beautifully shown that these atheists are totally missing the mark. The crucial questions, the interesting questions, aren't of the sort, how could there be a talking snake in the Garden of Eden? But rather, what do the snake's words mean for us? Peterson has been able to astound millions by demonstrating not only that one can be both a thinker and a believer, but that faith and religion can actually deepen and enrich one's thoughts. Peterson is far from alone. In his book, Dominion, How the Christian Revolution Remade the World, British historian Tom Holland, no relation to the Spider-Man actor, demonstrates that all of the most important political, social, intellectual, and cultural institutions of the modern West have sprouted directly out of Christianity. Modernity, Holland argues, is not just a product of revolution, but also evolution, growing out of not just rebelling against Christianity. Holland has not converted to Christianity, but no longer does he consider himself to be the staunch anti-religious atheist he once was. This is a form of subtle but noteworthy return to religion. But the most dramatic bombshell that was recently dropped was by Ayan Hirsi Ali. For those who don't know, Hirsi Ali was born in Somalia to a Muslim tribe and was radicalized during her teenage years by the Muslim Brotherhood. She fled to the Netherlands to escape an arranged marriage she was forced into, where she became a political activist, very much outspoken against radical Islam. She became one of the leading voices of the new atheists, alongside figures such as Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris. However, in a recent article, Hirsi Ali announced her conversion to Christianity. She arrived at the conclusion that secular humanism is insufficient in addressing all aspects of life, and more importantly, is inadequate in opposing what she perceives as the three greatest threats to the West today: radical Islam, anti-liberal dictatorships like China and Russia, and the postmodern woke culture that is eroding the foundations of the West from within. To counter these threats, argued Hirsi Ali, the West needs a religion, a worldview with the same kind of weight and gravitas that, for example, Islam has, and this she found in Christianity. Now, all this is just one side of the story. It's just one of the two phenomena I want to point out here. The second part is that since October 7th and the massive pro-Palestinian demonstrations it ignited worldwide, there arose in the West a significant trend among Generation Z, people and TikTokers of converting to Islam. In the weeks following the war in Gaza, many young non-Arab Westerners, in particular, very interestingly, young women, began announcing on their TikTok and Instagram accounts that as a result of the war, they started reading the Quran for the first time, exploring Islam, and rethinking their Western identity. Within weeks, these individuals began changing their appearance, such as wearing a hijab or growing beards, and then announcing their official conversion to Islam, which sometimes leads to their follower accounts doubling itself. Interestingly, these individuals don't refer to themselves as converts, but as reverts. The rationale behind this terminology is based on the long-standing Islamic claim that Islam is the original and natural religion of all human beings, and thus converting to it is actually a form of returning to one's original faith. They actually extend this concept all the way to figures like Abraham, whom Islam refers to as the first Muslim. Well, the original meaning of this is that Abraham was the first to submit to the one God, right? Islam means submission. Many wrongly interpret or present this as saying that Islam preceded Judaism, which of course is totally false. Many joining this trend, I should add, are influenced by the horrific document Letter to America, written by Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, shortly after the 9/11 attack, which he, of course, perpetrated, in which he blames America and the Jews, who, according to him, of course, run America, if not the entire world, for all the world's corruptions, and presents his organization's terror attacks as a defensive war. This document has gone viral in recent weeks, and masses of young people who have been primed for this kind of stuff by years of internalizing anti-Western rhetoric in their colleges or social media are swallowing it up uncritically. Now, where is all this leading? Well, friends, it seems that we are moving gradually from a world of geopolitics to a world of theopolitics. You know, there are talks of a third world war brewing between the West on the one side and the potential axis of China, Russia, Iran, North Korea on the other. Well, I'm here to tell you that probably before that, there is likely to be a war within the West, a cultural and religious war between Christians, both old and new, on the one hand, and Muslims, both old and new, living in Western countries, on the other. It will be a clash of civilizations, the likes of which we have never seen. Never have Muslims and Christians clashed within Western Christian countries. All this raises yet another interesting question. Where and how does Judaism fit into all of this? What's up with the Jews in this new constellation? Well, to begin with, the Jewish people are undergoing a religious revival of their own. This is especially felt here in Israel. The past months have seen IDF soldiers clamoring for tzitzit, that's the Jewish ritual garment with tassels tied to its fringes, which have been mass-produced for them, all handmade. People are attending synagogue services more frequently, wearing Jewish symbols. Even rap and pop songs are now beginning to include Jewish motifs and to mention God and faith. But there's more than that. Judaism and the land of Israel have been at the epicenter of the conflict between Islam and the West from the very beginning. Judaism is the original monotheistic revelation from which both Christianity and Islam sprang, and of which both see themselves as the true inheritors. It was here that the armies of Islam fought the Crusaders, and in many ways, Judaism and the land of Israel still stand between the threat of jihadi Islam and the West. These facts have far-reaching implications. Famed historian Bernard Lewis once noted, "Judaism has more in common with each of its two successors than either has with the other, and thus in many ways occupies an intermediate position between the two." This is true. Christianity and Islam contradict and oppose each other in almost every respect. In fact, for many Muslims and Christians, the only thing they share is, you guessed it, anti-Semitism. But Judaism has a certain kinship with both. It can understand both of them, see where they're coming from, and appreciate both the elements of truth that both have and the falsehoods of both. If Judaism is at the root of both Christianity and Islam, could it be that it is also destined to play a key role in the resolution of their conflict? I believe so. In the new emerging theopolitical order, it will be, I think, the responsibility of Judaism to sound its unique voice, to say what it has to say about all the different topics that are contended, that both religions are fighting about. Who knows? Judaism has greatly impacted the world before. It might just do it again. What do you think? Are you feeling the shift towards religion in your part of the world? What role do you think Judaism could play in this new world order? Please leave your thoughts in the comments below. I'd love to hear them. And if you like this video, please like it, subscribe to the channel, share it with your friends, and I will see you in the next video. This video was made possible through the kind support of my sponsors over at Patreon. Patreon is a great way to help independent creators like myself produce original content. If you'd like to get more English language videos from me, please consider becoming a supporter via Patreon. You can find the link in the description below. Thank you very much.